It has been the one song of those who thirst after absolute power, that the interest of the state requires that its affairs should be conducted in secret. But the more such arguments disguise themselves under the mask of public welfare, the more oppressive is the slavery to which they will lead. Better that right counsels be known to enemies than that the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They who can treat secretly of the affairs of a nation have it absolutely under their authority, and as they plot against the enemy in time of war, so do they against the citizens in time of peace.
One, two.
It's Saturday night. You're live from the bunker with your host, Dire Wolf.
Community. There's recently a lack of opposition. This is not good for our community and reflects an acceptance of things as they are. We know what we must do. What must we do? We are, however, fortunate in having with us a recent recruit whose outlook is particularly militant and individualistic. Let us hope that he will not deny his duty to the community by refusing to take up the challenge.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to this March 31st, 2007 edition of From the Bunker here on ReverRadio.net. I'm your host, Dire Wolf, and with me tonight I'll have a special guest on. We'll have Freeman from the Freeman Perspective and Freeman Radio, now every Tuesday nights here at ReverRadio.net. We definitely got some interesting topics for you tonight. As always, interesting, you know, Freeman's as interesting as they get. I mean, my God, really. And then, of course, to have him on every week now for a show on Tuesdays. And I believe that is at 7 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays. And so that would be 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and negative 5 or... I don't know what the hell it is, Greenwich Mean. You'll have to check it out yourself. But 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Times. So definitely one you do not want to miss. And it also will be archived at freemantv.com. And my shows are now being archived as well at fromthebunker.info. Thanks to Rob Revere for putting up that domain for me. I know nothing about HTML or building websites, so it will be a while before I get anything really geared on that site other than just the archives, but I'm sure Rob will be linking the archives still at Revere. They'll just be hosted at fromthebunker.info. So again, thank you everybody for tuning in, and I'm going to play you a quick track and we'll get right to Freeman. And yeah, enjoy. Get your head straight and have fun.
Attention, seekers everywhere. I was right. Everything I knew was wrong.
You see, where they've gone, they're playing with the universe. They're playing with the solar system. But they have no perception and no way to measure what the amount of energy that's going to flow out from that light off is going to do to the rest of the planets in the solar system.
questions been asked and kicked around for at least a century among scientists. And most, what I'd call hard-nosed scientists, say, of course not. It's obviously absurd. If there were such a thing, we wouldn't be surrounded with such...
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
All right, welcome back to the bunker here on ReviewRadio.net. With us on the line, we got Freeman from the Freeman Perspective or FreemanTV.com. And now on Revere every Tuesday night, Freeman Radio. How's things going, Freeman?
It's going all right.
Right on.
This whole thing really is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's, and
then
so
some. Often I say, great, but then sometimes it's just like, well, you know, it is what it is. But it's interesting, if nothing.
That's so true. It's extremely interesting, if I say so myself. You know, this information, I got some of the craziest information this week, and I don't want to go fear-mongering or anyone to the people and sitting there saying, oh my God, we're, you know, the end of the world's coming next year, etc., which I've actually heard that from a few people. Let alone, I do believe we're going to be attacked heavy this year, just, if anything, to instigate more with Iran, but to put the people in shape. I mean, that's what's happening, because people are starting to speak up and speak out, and they're not liking that. But a friend of mine, Dave, that's a listener here at Revere and a really good fella, he sent me this video this week. Now, this video really piqued my curiosity. It was only like 3 minutes long. I believe that it was entitled Lucifer Project, which most people, if they do any research on the word Lucifer, you'll find Saturn in that as well. And they found some really interesting things on this. October 18th, 1989, Space Shuttle Atlantis, gotta love that name, launches with the Galileo Space Probe. And the probe itself was powered by 17.2 pounds of plutonium-238. Now, on December 7th, 1995, Galileo reached Jupiter. Now, September 21st, 2003, Galileo was destroyed during this controlled impact with Jupiter. And so NASA's having all kinds of fun with that. Why they would do a controlled impact with all this equipment, that's beyond me. I don't know. But, you know, this is on September 21st. Now, on October 19th, 2003, a mysterious black spot appeared on Jupiter. Now, the spot is roughly 7,900 miles in diameter, you know, almost the size of Earth. And due to the extreme pressure of Jupiter's hydrogen atmosphere, the nuclear payload on Galileo triggered a chain reaction. And as far as we know, the largest weapon man has ever made was called the Tessera Bomba, and it was a 50-megaton nuclear bomb. Now, the fireball from that was 2.8 miles in diameter. Now, the Galileo space probe produced a blast 21 times bigger, so 2,821 times bigger than the Tessera Bomba. Now, October 15, 1997, the Cassini space probe launched. Now, the probe is powered by 72.3 pounds of plutonium-238, the most ever launched into space. Now, on 7-7-08, there's a date for you, Freeman, Cassini's going to impact Saturn, causing even a larger blast, you know, in theory. With an atmosphere composed almost entirely of hydrogen, there's theories that Saturn can become a second sun. On October 11, 2006, NASA sent some images of a large hurricane in Saturn's south pole, and this eye of the hurricane, it looked really similar to the CBS all-seeing eye. And unlike Galileo, Cassini's going to travel further into the planet by going through the opening at the pole. Now, the effects from Earth, from Saturn's star formation, are obviously unknown to anybody, but the theory is that a constant radiation shower will hit the Earth, lasting many weeks, killing obviously millions, and the effects will become visible around 28 days after the impact. And I found the dates to be quite curious, let alone the fact of it Saturn becoming a sun. I don't know. There's quite a bit of symbolism when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
And then not only that, the fact is, and several people that I know online caught on to this the day of, and that was these Cassini pictures that came on the news, and they were talking, is this a hexagon? And it's a crazy looking, it's psychedelic looking too, it's crazy, and it's at one of the poles, this big hexagon is. And apparently they got pictures of this like 2 decades ago with another probe. That obviously wasn't nuclear powered, got there just fine, and they didn't need to crash it into Saturn. So I don't get why they would want to do anything like this, let alone I don't want to go fear-mongering and say, oh, this is going to happen. I know they're going to crash it into there. They say they're going to do this. Why they would want to do this with the possibility of igniting Saturn into a sun is beyond me. Other than having a second sun, and they really don't give a shit about killing millions, because all you need to do is be underground for a month or two.
We've been through this scenario a few times now. Do you recall the large comet that struck Jupiter, broke up into many parts, and
yeah,
traveling at that time? And I'm really bad with space time, so I don't have the dates on that because we were in the ether, but. You know, when you're traveling. But we, you know, we were watching and concerned as Jupiter could erupt, because here was this large comet running straight into it. And then there was 5-5-2000, when all the planets went behind the sun and Earth was left alone on the other side, and they all lined up.
Yeah.
And you could actually watch that on the SOHO satellite. We were at the library watching it happen.
Yeah, that's there's definitely some trippy, you know, astrological things happening. But you know, we have 770 date for the impact date for Saturn, and
this thing is so much bigger than most people realize. And once you start to look into just, you know, the whole satellite interesting outer space events going on, I mean, Cassini sent back an image of the Death Star as Iapetus. It was the 17th moon of the 33 moons of Saturn. Another interesting number.
Yeah.
It's the third largest moon. And Iapetus is provably a man-made structure with ancient architecture on there that's been devastated. You know, interestingly enough, Arthur C. Clarke wrote much about it in 2001, before we had sent Cassini, obviously, you know. We did have some earlier images, I believe, from Voyager of Iapetus, but when we got the Cassini shots, we see, and we're talking about Saturn's moon as this satellite arrived there, having a mile, or a 3 mile, or 12 mile high wall surrounding the entire equator of this planet. Well, if you look at it, you'll find that it absolutely looks identical to the Death Star.
Yeah, in Star Wars, and it does. this another friend of mine online, Ghost in the Machine, he was talking about that George Lucas, he's only given us, you know, the 6 parts, but there's 9 parts to the story, and he's, you know, got the last 3 all booted up and is not going to tell us the rest of the story, basically, because it has to do with an old story. You know, Tessarian talks about that as well, as it actually being part of an old, old story, you know.
Well, that's just how well our programmers work, you know. Here, there's so much documented evidence of high civilization in the ancient past. I mean, we're talking about a nuclear explosion of Saturn. This seems to have occurred before, not with Saturn, but the large nuclear explosion. The moon is radioactive, and the you know, there's areas in the Gobi Desert that are
Well, a friend of mine was telling me there's a storm they get in Korea every year that lasts like 8 weeks or so, 6 or 8 weeks, and it's from the Gobi Desert, and they all have to wear masks and what have you, and they're advised to stay indoors.
Sure,
because it's toxic. The storm is toxic.
Yeah, there's a lot more going on planet Earth than people are willing to accept at this time. And in our solar system, if we take into account that every satellite that's been heading towards Phobos, the moon of Mars, has vanished. Like the Russians have sent about 6, and we've sent another 3 to 4, and every one of them has been lost. Every Phobos mission is lost. And Mars's moons weren't reported until 1877. No astronomer ever saw them prior to that moment. And then everyone saw them. And these two moons move in opposite directions around the planet and seem to be speeding up, and scientists believe that they could be hollow.
Well, Mars is also heating up as well, but then again, that goes with global warming, so...
Yeah, or solar warming.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and that could go with, the fact of us going, you know, heading towards galactic center in this alignment. So, you know, things are heating up, let's say, and literally everywhere, and not only with the temperature, but mentally, I believe things are heating up extremely. You know, as far as the hexagram on Saturn right now that they're sitting there checking out, that Cassini sent us pictures of again, and well, they took it like 2 decades ago. They had pictures of it, but they said it was a phenomena. But obviously, it's a 20-year phenomena so far. And I'll send you the link to that. It's really interesting. It was off of Yahoo News, and of course, the people who bring this to us are, of course, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, founder being Jack Parsons. The son of the Antichrist, the father of the Antichrist. I don't know.
He called himself the Antichrist.
Or he wants to be. Let's put it this way: a close associate of everything evil in this world.
There's certainly no doubt that the evil occultists have always been focused on outer space. There's just no doubt that this has been a huge portion of the occult ancient mystery school religion. That's why all the Great Pyramids, you know, align to Sirius and Draco, and why the ancient monuments in South America are aligned to, you know, astronomical.
Yeah, have you got a chance to peek Mel Gibson's film Apocalypto?
I did.
Yeah, what was your take on that?
To me, it seemed like a Hebrew Exodus.
Did you kind of catch the Catholicism in their worship as well, though? I mean, as far as Mel Gibson, as far as his writing went, because they were talking of a singular God, and et cetera, et cetera. And I always thought it was a plural gods with shamanistic tribes.
Mel Gibson encodes Masonic stories into all of his films. They're all, if you know, these are their take on how these events, or no, I'm sorry, these are the mythos that they want to instill on these stories.
Yeah.
And I've seen that through all of his films. It's coded masonry. It's so if you look to Braveheart, it's the creation of the Templars, or the Patriot, it's the story of the Freemasons. Much like Walt Disney did the same thing with Sons of Liberty, a Mason story, but never mentioning the Masons. And if people would see what he had done to Christ in the Passion of Christ, you know, that's the Brotherhood human Christ that they want to instill. It's funny that people don't see this, but you have to study the Brotherhood, I guess, as much as I do to understand their ways of being. Definitely Apocalypto to me. I mean, other than instilling that absolute resistance is futile.
Yeah, because the ending of it was a no-hope situation. It was like, oh, man. It was... I couldn't believe how it ended. I was, yeah, it was quite upsetting in a lot of ways. I mean, I would suggest people watch the film. No doubt about it. But it was definitely, yeah, I totally agree with you as far as everything being encoded, and that's one thing I've always wondered. It was kind of like Rosie O'Donnell coming out about 9/11, but yet she sets up straw men arguments on her 9/11 truth out thing on The View. And of course, the opposing end, I can't remember the lady's name, and I'm sure you're a lot like me on this. You know what The View is, but you've never watched it.
Yeah.
In fact, the only time I watched it was today. I watched it. I watched the Rosie clip finally that everybody's been talking about, and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And I was like, all right, she set up a couple straw man arguments that are going to get knocked down real easy. And then, of course, on the side for the government, the chick, I don't know her name, really cute girl, obviously just, I hate to really be insulting, but she was stupid. I mean, seriously. She reminded me, remember that interview with Britney Spears when she said, you know, I agree with whatever the president does, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I didn't start studying Britney so recently.
Okay, well, it was like about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and she's like, I trust the president on whatever he does and whatever decisions he makes. I mean, you know, it's whatever he does is right, that mentality. Well, that's this lady. She was brought evidence. I mean, she even thinks the war in Iraq is still right, and that's how close this lady is. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was a product of Disney. And people don't understand when I say Disney, I mean Disney is one of the major producers of mind control subjects, as far as I'm concerned.
CNN's Disney.
Yeah. Well, so is ABC.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's the network that
recognize what Disney is. I've really been bashing Disney a lot lately because, you know, people just don't see it. I mean, it's a military-industrial complex.
Yes.
I mean, you know, people that build nukes have rides in Disney World. I mean,
uh-huh.
Look.
It's so very,
you know,
true.
This thing is so much stranger than all of that, you know. The View, man, they couldn't even consider the possibilities of what's really going on.
Yeah.
This thing is huge, and it really involves the entire crafting of civilization as we know it today. These people, they're not ready for that.
What I found extremely entertaining on it was, you know, it's YouTube is what I was watching it on, and I'm sure as everybody knows, or most of us all do that get a, you know, watch YouTube. I know the Great Firewall of China is pretty harsh on Google and YouTube videos, so... But on that matter, most people do understand when you're watching a YouTube video after it's over, you get a choice of, like, 12 videos afterwards of similar type of interest. And, of course, they had Joe Scarborough on for a rebuttal on the Rosie O'Donnell 9/11 truth out thing. And of all people for guests, they had Danny Bonaducci from the Partridge Family. You know, ex-crack addict Danny Bonaducci,
that
is a no-talent radio DJ and some other talking head. And he's all saying that Rosie should be hung for treason for what she's saying. And at the very least, all of them agreed that she should lose her job and ABC should fire her immediately. They should, yeah. Disney should be talking to ABC immediately, or the other way around, and firing her.
Yeah, they haven't fired that cop that beat up that poor little bartender.
Yeah. Well, oh my God, I read a story today, just a totally off topic and out of hand, but it was disgusting, but a female German judge said today that this woman was petitioning for divorce from her husband, a Muslim woman that was a citizen of Germany. But she is a follower of Islam. She was told she is not granted a divorce because of her husband beating her, because it is allowed in the Quran. It's allowed in her religion, so therefore it's all right for her husband to beat her, and that won't she won't grant her a divorce.
the hardest job any of us have are to break down these belief systems. I mean, the BS just stands in the way, and everybody believes their BS is right. And that's, you know, really what our job is, we try to project out to the world.
That's what I try to tell people on the marriage thing, though, is that, too. Marriage is bullshit in the first place. It's making your relationship with another that you have feelings for and love for a legal matter. And
it's all bullshit, man. We grow up in a captivity. We're in a cage. Yeah. We live in a zoo.
Oh, and you want to make it special, though? Go spend $5,000 to $20,000 on a piece of carbon rock that's actually worth retail. I mean, actual value is around 25 cents to 45 cents a carat.
Why do humans dig gold and diamonds? You know, that's a more important question for sure.
Yeah. What are they used
for? We've been mining this planet for gold since civilization began as we know it.
Yeah, and we'll look at diamonds. I mean, and not to go Jew bashing here, but the Zionists do control the diamond industry, which is a bullshit industry, number one. Number two, if De Beers alone was to let loose their control of diamonds, or let's say empty their stock of diamonds...
What
out
do you need
vaults?
A diamond for?
Oh, for to express your love, because it's forever and it's expensive and it's shiny.
So it's willing. It's worth all of the slave labor,
exactly.
Theft, human trading.
Exactly. But if De Beers alone was to release all their diamonds that they have in their vaults, the diamonds would be worth about 25 cents to 45 cents a carat.
What is a diamond worth? I mean, it's really not worth anything unless you're building high tech lasers.
Yeah. I hear you. Same thing with most precious metals.
Exactly. And the only thing they're really good for is technology.
Yeah.
That's where their value lies.
Yeah.
So you got to wonder why did the ancients, who obviously had a high civilization prior to this one, one that we can't even explain yet, mine so much resources out of this planet when their only value... could be technology. I mean, certainly the Incans didn't know why they were mining gold. All they knew, they needed to give it to the bearded white guy when he showed up.
Yeah.
And this is the
thing. And that they did very well.
So if you start to look at this picture, I mean, we opened up with Cassini and Galileo. Look at the space shuttles. It's the Atlantean endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, and all challengers will be blown up. And this space program that we're discussing is, you know, we're looking at JPL. This is Jack Parsons and the high Nazi occultists, the Thule Society. This is, you know, so much bigger than simple politics. And as long as we stay busy chasing down the strawman bad guys, then, you know, the agenda just can...
The strawman bad guys that are protected. They're protected by their
own
laws.
They're just there for our entertainment.
Yeah.
They're there to keep us distracted from the real agenda. Just like selling diamonds for Valentine's Day. It just keeps you distracted from the reason why we mine diamonds.
Well, it's just like the old wars for oil. It's like with the money we've spent on Iraq, if that money was invested on alternative energies, we would have four or five different choices. Very good, viable choices.
Do something positive.
Yeah, well, I don't think science is ever going to do anything positive as long as they're controlled by the corporate powers. And
well, the corporate powers are controlled by the occultists. So
yeah.
You got to really, you know, understand their true agendas. There's, you know, more reason why the only old growth left in Northern California is Bohemian growth. The rest has all been chopped down and regrown. It's the last of the old growth in the Northern California region.
Yeah, and people that don't believe that, all they have
energy,
to do is go there. You'll see redwoods on the side of the interstate and what have you, but if you actually go into the woods, they're all cut as well.
Exactly, and from a magician's standpoint, this is an energy type thing. And when we start getting sidetracked by politics or finances, then we lose sight of their motives. Because, you know, like I say, Cassini's not just sending us a new sun, it's also sending us back images of our ancient past, which includes a Death Star. We need to take these things into account.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know, I don't understand why people can't take the big picture and see that civilization has sprouted out of this.
Because Jesus wouldn't allow that, don't you know? He'll come back and save everybody.
Yeah. Jesus is the morning star as well, is he not?
Yeah, well, maybe that, you know, as far as a reason, because I have been asked this a lot this week, because I've been talking about this Cassini deal on my Skype cast, and I've been getting a lot of why would they do this, and I really don't know why, but when you look at the effects, I look at Hollywood, a lot of it reminded me of Hollywood when I'm looking at everything and on the theories. If this did become a second sun, they're sitting there saying it would take 28 days. Wow, I love that, because there's that apocalyptic Hollywood movie called 28 Days. And having a second sun that would kill millions, well, that doesn't hurt their feelings, killing millions of us.
I know.
I mean, that...
I'm doing that.
A second sun is talked about in all kinds of science fiction movies, let alone in past records. You know, as far as Tessarians were concerned, Tiamat was a second sun because it was a water planet, and the reflection from our sun made it look like a sun, so which made sense to me, but, you know, then again, that is yet to be proven to me. It's a great theory, though. It's a very good theory. I enjoy it. It makes more sense to me than a lot of other theories that have been brought to me. And that's all I do. I just take the best of what sounds good to me and say, hey, man.
Rattled it around for a while.
Yeah, it sounds great until something else sounds, well, hey, that's better. That's actually more plausible of that happening. That makes more sense to me. But nobody's saying anything to me on Cassini on putting it in Saturn at 40-some thousand miles an hour with 72 pounds of plutonium, 238. It's,
honestly, have been expecting the second sun from them. I do expect them to bring about this planned revelation, and perhaps as a solar-wide...
Isn't there something in Revelations about a second sun, though?
Well, you know, it wouldn't matter. If that happened, and they...
I mean, because I will notice, they, you know, like you were talking about the last time you were on when we were talking about Iraq, you know, and the, Saddam Hussein being, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar, or saying he was Nebuchadnezzar, and then rebuilding the Temple of Babylon, and, of course, us going in using the Moab with shock and awe, you know, so they are using biblical references, et cetera, in a lot of things, so I don't see why not, because there's so many people that believe in that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I could see it being, you know, them being easily manipulated when it comes to certain things like that.
My favorites. Now, this came from the News of the Weird, so take it as you will, but this is just a classic example. There was a lady following a pickup truck, and in the back of the pickup truck, he had some blow-up sex dolls that he had not strapped down too well. He was taking to a bachelor party, and they started to float up out of the back of his truck. And according to the News of the Weird, this lady felt it was the rapture and leapt out of her car doing 50 miles an hour and killed herself.
There you go, man. And that's the way. And, you know, people like that, though, they're Darwin Award winners as far as I'm concerned, and I really don't pity them or weep for them.
At the same time, we are all programmed on many levels in this same way, you know.
Yeah.
That is what Hollywood is doing.
Well, it's like I've been talking to my friend Jake, you know, and we've always said if we see the UFOs, either we're like great hologram guys, or okay, they're really here this time, and oh shit. Because I don't think they're, I don't think the ones that are showing up, I'm telling you now, if they do show up, I don't think they're here for our benefit by any means.
There has to be a variation. If it's all true, then there would have to be good and bad, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the ones that are going to be showing up aren't going
to
be all good. It would
be
like on that Independence Day where everybody in L.A. is shooting at them, and they have to tell on the radio and through the loudspeakers in the cop cars, please stop shooting at the alien spacecraft.
Yeah.
Especially in America, so.
Have I ever mentioned to you the craft I witnessed?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Where was this at?
Man. Huh?
Where was this at?
This was in Daytona Beach. It
okay.
was somewhere around 1990, and a friend and I, a and I went down to Daytona Beach for spring break. We lived in Orlando, so it wasn't that long of a drive. But we headed down there, and we got there about 10 p.m., 11 p.m. in there, and we decided to go down to the beach and just hang out for a bit while before we went to go party, you know, just to go hang out and look at the water. And, you know, there were thousands of people all up and down the main drag and cars and everything, and we went down and sat on this lifeguard stand, and then there was this large rectangular craft floating over the ocean. It was huge. I couldn't tell you how big. It was monstrous and rectangular. It wasn't like any other craft I've ever heard
before. I think it's called a TR-3 is what it's called.
Perhaps. This was unlike I've heard described by others, and I've read, you know, a lot of UFO.
Have you been checking out the stuff out of Australia?
Huh?
Have you been checking out the UFOs out of Australia? Because we got two really big secret bases in Australia, and it's kind of like the UFO footage that they have out on YouTube and that's been out on a couple videos that I've seen of them shooting at the spacecraft coming out, and of course the shots are fired from Australia, and I'm told they're fired from where the U.S. bases approximately are as well. But you know, I've got quite a bit of footage. What's that, brother?
Are you speaking of the pulse cannon?
Well, it's some type of cannon. That's what it looks like. It looks like that pulse cannon from Star Wars. That's exactly
like
what it
takes
looks
off
like.
In the other direction.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
That's my HARP video. Absolutely. There's more going on than meets the eye. And, you know, I don't know. I lost 5 hours after seeing that giant rectangle, and it wasn't anything we could have had. So it's so confusing, right? We're left with our programmers hitting us from all sides. So now we come up to Fife Symington, who, the ex-governor of Arizona, who, I mean, I was watching when the news came out about the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, I need to play this clip for everybody, too. I'll definitely do this. We'll take a break here in a minute after you get through speaking, and we'll play this clip for everybody. But yeah, go ahead and talk about this, and I'll play it for everybody after you get done talking about it.
All right. Well, the governor, I'm watching as the Phoenix Light event is happening, and there's people coming, you know, hundreds of them, saying there's a large craft hovering over Phoenix, and it showed up for days. And of course, the news was talking about flares, and it was a military project. And so then the governor comes out in a big news conference and ridicules the questioning public. And I was one of them, and I was sitting, I mean, I wasn't at Arizona, I was watching on television, but here I thought, here comes the moment where we might get a little bit of information to understand. You know, you go through so many levels as you're looking at the UFO thing, we don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, they say it was like helicopters from the National Guard doing an exercise.
Well,
I mean, seriously, I remember watching that myself on CNN. I remember watching that on CNN, brother, and saying, shit, they're here.
But you might panic, so he felt he'd rather lie and ridicule you instead of telling you what he really thought. Now he's coming out to say what he really thought. Anyway, we'll play that clip.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and we'll play this clip. It's like 3.5 minutes long, and we'll check everybody on the flip side of this clip.
Fife Symington is now a businessman. He was the Republican governor of Arizona for 6 years, elected when the first George Bush was president. Now, a decade after leaving the state house, he takes me to a Phoenix park and discloses something unlike anything uttered by any other high-level U.S. politician.
If you had been here 10 years ago and standing out here and looking up there at the lights and the view, you would have been astounded. You would have been amazed.
Governor Symington is referring to what is now known as the Phoenix Lights, an object videotaped by many and seen by thousands over several nights in the Arizona sky in 1997.
Major sighting here.
It was described by witnesses as larger than a football field and silent.
It was a giant V, all right? And the right side of the V went over us. The left side was like a couple blocks over it.
I just didn't know what to do. You know, it was just like, my God, how big is this thing?
The great state of Arizona, Fife Symington.
The former governor, a Vietnam Air Force veteran, had never publicly acknowledged seeing it until now.
And I suspect that unless the Defense Department proves us otherwise, that it was probably some form of an alien spacecraft.
So why didn't he say anything then? Partly, he says, because he didn't want people to panic.
I think as a public figure, you have to be very careful about what you say, because people can have pretty emotional reactions. And my goal wasn't to try to stir the pot.
And he went to humorous and controversial lengths not to stir the pot. He held a news conference after the Phoenix Lights to announce the mystery had been solved.
And now I'll ask Officer Stein and his colleagues to escort the accused into the room so that we may all look upon the guilty party. Don't get him too close to me, please.
In the alien costume, the governor's chief of staff.
Now, this just goes to show that you guys are entirely too serious.
UFO enthusiasts were not amused, especially since the governor was believed to have seen nothing. But now he's coming out.
The lights were really brilliant, and it was just fascinating. It was enormous. It just felt otherworldly. You know, in your gut, you could just tell it was otherworldly.
Symington will be talking about this in an updated film about UFOs called Out of the Blue. He has also talked with an organization that wants UFO information more out in the open.
It's very significant that someone of the stature of a governor would come out and say that they acknowledge that they experienced a UFO, because it brings a lot of credibility and strength to the case.
Governor Symington says he did tell his family, friends, and staff about what he saw early on.
I still, behind the scenes, tried to investigate it, but I got nowhere.
So what were the Phoenix Lights? Well, frankly, we don't know. What we do know is that it's as much of a mystery today as it was a decade ago. Gary Tuchman, CNN Phoenix.
All right, welcome back. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting clip by all means because, like I said before, you gotta love hypocrites. And, yeah. But it's, you know, for the betterment of us, so therefore, let's lie to the people. We can't deal with it.
And ridicule you.
Yeah.
I think it's better for you. In my opinion, it's best. And since I'm a government agent, I know what's best.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now he comes out and says, oh, yeah, it's otherworldly. It was an amazing event. It's obviously an alien craft. And you're left with, well, wait, why is he now coming out saying that it is an alien craft? And I was already curious. I had predicted a shock and awe event. Well, not predicted, but it was a rise of Mercury and Venus, which Knight and Lomas in their Masonic works say is the shock and awe, the Shekinah. So, November 7th? The shock and awe event occurred, and at that same time, there was this massive UFO over O'Hare Airport, and, you know, hundreds of witnesses.
I remember that happening as well, yeah.
And it became big news. And then now we've got the governor coming out saying, oh, well, it was absolutely an alien craft. I just felt the need to lie. And then the French release all their UFO reports.
Yeah, and then, of course, I found a report today, and a friend of mine also sent it to me, which I found really interesting. I found it on whatreallyhappened.com, which I find is a great site for news information.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely got to plug Mike Rivero for that one. And it was on this French, I believe he's an architectural engineer, if I'm not mistaken. Something to do with buildings, anyway. He is going to reveal the secrets of how they built the pyramids, apparently, either tomorrow... Today, tomorrow, next week, something real soon. I mean, real soon. So that will be, I'm sure, a headline thing on the internet. It will be easy to find. I don't watch television, but these things are easy to find. But whatreallyhappened.com is a great place just to find news on what's happening. And Mike picks on all the religions well. And, yeah, I think his views are pretty much right on. And I pretty much agree with his... most of his side comments of the stories he posts.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Apparently he's the one that turned me on to Prince Frederick von Anhalt being a Schicklgruber.
I don't even know what a Schicklgruber is.
That's Hitler's real name.
Oh, really?
Which, if you believe in the whole hidden bloodline, would make the Schickel
Yeah, I've heard that before. I heard that his mom was like a maid for the Rothschilds or something like that.
Yes.
And he was like the bastard child.
His mom was a maid for the Disneys. His bloodline's hidden as well.
Whose was that?
Walt Disney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, if you follow my research, you'll find that W's true ancestry is hidden as well and leads straight back to Aleister Crowley.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially when it comes to Barbara, man. Wow, that's just like so super creepy when you put the two pictures together. It's just, and I've turned quite a few people on to that, and every person I've turned on to that has replied back and said, oh my God. And I'm like, I told you, he's right on the money with this one. I was like, this one is just like, if I've ever found anything just out of the blue to blow my mind, this was it. And it wasn't out of the blue. I did get an email from you on, you got to check this out, the Bush Crowley connection. And I'm like, or the Barbara Bush Pierce connection to Crowley. And yeah, that was absolutely amazing.
This whole story is astounding. I mean, it's really what it just inspires me. I'm not trying to take anybody down or do anything. I'm just, you know, truly amazed by the entire story.
Well, you give the proper questions for people to ask, and I think that's what it is. And it's like, it's myself even. I don't try to say, hey, this is the way you should believe, because this is what I think, and this is what's right. Not at all. In fact, the other way around. I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying. I want you to go check out things I'm saying.
Yes.
I want you to pique interest in it and say, okay, I got to go check this out. These guys are so full of it. They do not know what they're talking about. They're obviously high. They don't pay attention. They're out there. I mean, talk about programming. We have been programmed. And that was brought to me one time by this girl. She posed this question to me, which I found quite interesting, because I was thinking in a quantum physics type thing, into a dimensional type thing, on whether that I am necessary as far as being part of the fluctuation of et cetera, et cetera. And that's just the way I perceive it, but yet that's not really the way it is, et cetera, et cetera, which, you know, obviously she didn't agree with basically anything I was saying. She thought the government was overall pretty good, etc. But she did have at least an open mind enough to say, well, you really could be crazy, just like fixed in this way and not in the other way. And kind of almost Twilight Zone-ish.
But when has the government been good?
Yeah.
Has civilization been good?
Hey, there was a guy on Skypecast that told us the other day. And he was from Ireland, of all places, but he was living in Switzerland. So I was like, I hope you feel safe. he actually had the audacity to say, well, governments are what give us freedom. I wish I had it recorded. It would have made the best plug for all kinds of ads.
Yeah, that's new speak there, boy.
And it was an Irishman saying this. I mean, because I, now, not to dog Irish people at all, because, my God, I have some beautiful Irishmen that come on my casts, on my webcasts, that are just so intelligent, and they know exactly what's going on, and then some. And so definitely not to dog those people, but I do get a few every once in a while that are just doozies, and they're from all over the world, and that's why I really enjoy Skypecasts as well. And they're pretty easy to find. My cast is called In Terrorism We Trust, So Saith the Sheeple. And it works pretty well. I only do maybe three or four a week, but they're definitely entertaining. And it's really entertaining when I get like an Israeli and a Palestinian on at the same time. And yeah, because points are proven left and right. It's amazing.
Yeah, really, I've got my computer working again, so I might be joining you. I do actually now have a microphone and headphones too, so.
Nice.
I'm pretty near to getting that all done.
Well, I'll give you my username again on air, because it's the easiest way to find me. Just type in a message for people that are coming on that want to add me on as a user. Just say, please add me, want to listen to your Skypecast, etc. And because I give everybody an invite that's online at the time on Skype on my list. And Yeah, I do have a list of about 350 people, but it's all good. Not everybody's online at the same time. So my rooms usually average around 35, 40 people, a cast. And, of course, I usually bring up around 6 or 7 people. And then topics change constantly. We talk about absolutely everything. Everything is discussed. And nothing is left out, but it's always good. I turned this one guy, though. He still thinks Freemasons are great and that they're a bunch of old guys. He's talking about the Freemasons in London. He says they're a bunch of old guys that lay around and play ping pong and eat pudding. And I turned him on to your videos on Freemasonry and on Goddess Columbia. And he's like, well, now I'm led to believe every house in the world that has a pyramid structure is... as evil and all. And I'm like, man, you totally missed every point or didn't watch anything. It's like,
yeah, it's amazing to hear what comes out afterwards.
But you know, but at least they're out. As some people, but he doesn't argue 9/11 with me anymore. So he's coming out loosely. You know, he's slowly but surely.
My favorite part. I was sitting with the ex-head of the OTO here in Austin. That's also a Freemason. And we went over to his place and watched my video, and he watched it from beginning to end. He wouldn't let me turn it off. And the whole time he kept going, how do you know that? How do you know that?
Well, it's like...
he loved it.
I blow OTO people away all the time because the guy who makes our oils is Crowley's illegitimate kid. And this guy's a sick bastard. He's a lama, a Tibetan lama as well. Lama Rishi is his name. Or Richard Blackwell, Dr. Richard Blackwell. And this guy, so he's got the Crowley oil recipes for OTO, for casting spells, etc. And so we're one of the few suppliers of these oils. And so we get a lot of OTO people getting oils from us, etc. And, well, we know a lot of the spells. There's a few spells we don't know. No one's allowed really to know, except for very few people in OTO are allowed to know what the oils are for. And there's only like two of them that we carry that we ourselves are not allowed to know. But the rest of them, we have everything, all the knowledge of them, and that always creeps them out when I sit there and talk about, well, why do you guys want to do this and this and this? Well, how do you know about these? You're not supposed to know about these things, etc., etc. And, well, because you guys talk about them, and someone's going to talk sooner or later, and that's how you find out. But I don't believe everything anyone says either, because of the fact that Schnoblin guy, Bill Schnoblin, I think his name is.
Sounds real familiar.
He was with that Christian Truth Movement thing, that deal that what's it called? I'm sure his name's Bill Schnoblin. He says he was like a really high-ranking Freemason, high-ranking OTO, and he was such a high rank in all these things at such an early age. I'm still going like, what the hell?
90th degree Mason.
Yeah. So he didn't make much sense to me. People like that, I kind of brush off on the wayside. I'll listen to a little bit of him, but I realize a lot of it's propaganda, and more than likely he is controlled in a plant.
Yeah, after a number of amens, I was done with the brother, you know.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Well, it's like Fritz Springmeier, but he, you know, at least his videos, when you listen to him, it's only the amens and the praise gods and the amens and the amens and the praise gods for the first 20 minutes.
Like a salesman, like Bill did.
Yeah.
You know, with Fritz. You know, what you see a lot of times is, and I see this a lot here in Texas, is that after a while, you can easily prove to yourself that Satan is in charge. I mean, this, if you follow the evidence, you find Satan in charge of America. But of course, to me, this is a ruse. But what happens is people see Satan in charge. They look at the Anna Nicole Britney story. They look at, you know, they sold their souls for rock and roll. And these things will make you believe. And then you have no other... They control the other polarity.
Well, I remember the last time you were on and we were talking about that video.
Satan, and next thing you know, you got to go to Jesus.
Yeah, I remember the last time you were on and we were talking about that video, We Sell Our Souls to Rock and Roll, and I remember watching that like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was made like in the 80s, in the early 80s, late 70s it seemed like, from the way everybody was dressed.
It's better than that. I mean, it has Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera kissing.
But some of their stuff though was taken from like it seemed like the 80s, or maybe it was the way they put it.
I am working on a film that was almost identical to it, as I was expressing capitalism in rock and roll. I mean, I got my story of the day Phil Lesh took me to a Mason temple and tried to kill me, and many other examples to show the magic. And I mean, you know, Jimmy Page lived in Aleister Crowley's house on the left.
Still does.
Did he move?
He couldn't handle the evil ghost? Because if people don't know, Aleister Crowley's castle on Loch Ness, that Jimmy Page lived in, was built upon a church that was burnt and killed. I can't remember what it was. It was either 50 or 80 parishioners, something like that. It was quite a few parishioners that it killed, so it was like a sacrifice thingy that was all yummy. And those of you who think Aleister Crowley is completely wacko nuts, you truly need to read his work. His later works, yes. It's out there and crazy. Even for someone like myself, I really am, like, blown away. But his early works, I actually admire. And he was quite a brilliant character. But then again, quite an evil character, like Jack Parsons. A lot of these brilliant people... you kind of wonder why they are so brilliant. What's given to them?
What their brilliance does, you know, their brilliance have ended up in nuclear. I mean, really, what it seems like the agenda in the occultic technological realms is to destroy matter and to create matter and to keep humans in warfare. But this is, you know, things that we see coming out of these occultists like NASA.
Is the warfare just strictly for, let's say, sacrificial? Or is it just the energy flow, the negative energy flow that they want? Or what is...
That seems to be the case. That, you know, when we're discussing these guys, it's always an energetic flow. The creation and destruction of matter it seems to be something else. It seems to be something that has to happen here in the third dimension that they need to be able to master. The destruction and the creation of matter.
Yeah, do you have any...
Halfway there.
I know you haven't got a look into it at all, I should say. But any... Just off the top of your head, fathom any idea why the hell they would want to make Saturn into a star? Or semi-like a star, or blow the hell out of it? Is there something there they don't want? Or would it just be like a symbolic thing?
That's a very good question. I honestly couldn't answer that. I could, that's a toughie. Because, you know, I thought about that a lot back, like I say, with the whole Jupiter event. And at that time, my thoughts were of, you know, this fake revelations, you know, and they're coming out with the reaping now and, you know, getting us programmed into another end of the world religious scenario. Oh, man. I mean, you can just see it, you know. Freaking occultist, the intelligence agent, Alan Moore, puts out V for Vendetta and everybody dresses up as Guy Fawkes.
And they still do. So
what's that?
They still do. I mean, I still know. There's a lot of people in the truth movement that are all about V for Vendetta. You know, it was good Hollywood as far as that goes. And sure, it's always good to revolt. But when you look at the true story of Guy Fawkes, as Freeman has done a great outline of, if you go to freemantv.com, and yeah, that's mind-blowing, brother. And by the way, thank you again so much for doing that research for everybody, because that's great research you did on Guy Fawkes.
I did it because I love it.
Yeah, well, you did it extremely quick when that movie was coming out. It was like a month and a half after it came out on DVD that you had all your information going, and that was...
And now I've got this filter, you know. I mean, really, not to mention it again, but the Anna Nicole Britney thing, you know, is like living David Icke's biggest secret in real time. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean,
It truly is in a lot of ways, isn't it? And that's a great book for everyone to read, by the way. And I should plug that book. Of all the David Icke books, that's hands down. It's some great research material by a bunch of great authors. A very little do I disagree with on that. A very little. I would say 99% of it's right on the money. But it's absolutely so well done. It's a bunch of great research from different researchers compiled into one book. And that's where I thank David for doing, because he did it very well as far as taking all these great theories and these great, not only theories, but very true events.
There's so many facts that we're dealing with, you know, we're just programmed not to think.
I mean, his work on Princess Diana, I thought, was outstanding.
They attached Candle to the Wind to Anna Nicole.
Yeah. Did they really?
Yeah.
See, because I don't do the television thing at all, Freeman, and that's one thing that I refuse to bring up on my show, basically. I was waiting to talk about any of these little Hollywood bimbets until you came on again, because I almost refuse to talk about Hollywood anymore, because everybody else in their cast will cover, they'll cover that. They will cover the Britney or the Madonna or the Anna Nicole, whatever the headline story is at the time. And I'm glad they do. Somebody needs to, but I figure, you know, if Alex Jones is piping about it, everybody else is going to be piping about it, and you know, and all the news broadcasters are piping about it. I just avoid it, because there's always deeper things. And it's like with all this shit that's going on in Iran, all this shit's going on throughout the Middle East period. Of course, I'm looking out to the stars and freaking out, and not necessarily should I be freaking out. I don't think I should. I just should find it interesting and go on with life, which that's what I'm doing. But it's, I don't know. The date's extremely interesting, though. 7/7/08.
The end of the Anna Nicole story ends with the baby Daniel Lynn being a ritual moon child raised through Hitler's bloodline, which makes it a Rothschild.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
The story carries on. I haven't changed my opinion one bit. I find that the evidence just keeps compounding on it, actually. And what we'll find is that Prince Frederick von Anhalt is the daddy of the baby, and that he's actually a genetic Nazi experiment to keep the bloodline of Hitler. He was
kind of like the Brazil boys of Brazil.
Yes, exactly like that. And he keeps his mind control slave wife locked up inside of his house with a padlock. Zsa Zsa Gabor, who Fritz Brinkmeyer and David Icke bring out as mind control slaves, and then here he is with Anna Nicole, and he's saying he's the daddy. So that makes the baby a Schicklgruber, and if we go through the hidden bloodline, then that makes the baby a Rothschild. And J. Howard Marshall, the Nazi billionaire, left all his money to the baby, and they were the money's actually left to no one, because there's this most unusual clause left in the will that makes it so that the money can't be passed along to any spouse. So it's a very curious thing, and all of the lawyers were taking note of the fact that they'd never heard of such a clause in a will before. And I find that this whole thing was set up, the ritual murder of the firstborn, the ritual goddess sacrifice, and then the baby is raised as this moon child. They released the Pan's Labyrinth movie at the same time, and now we've got the explosion of Saturn.
You know what's really, really trippy? Is, you know, the craziest interview I've ever seen in my life, hands down, was the interview that David Icke did with Arizona Wilder.
Yes.
And you know what? This is she actually starts to make a little sense now.
Yes.
I mean, that's what's actually scaring me. I mean,
that's a lot of data. I mean, for somebody that wasn't, she knew the story of Osiris and Isis, you know, there was obscure data that she was correct on. And even David Icke said that, you know, descriptions were 100% accurate on certain on bases that she discussed.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And of course she's still under control.
What did Pitney do? Okay, there you go. I shouldn't talk about this anymore, but you know, it was Arizona Wilder that cued me into the fact that she had blonde hair, so she dyed it brown, and so then Britney dyed her hair brown, and then she chopped off all her hair, Arizona Wilder did, and then Britney shaved her head. And really, to me, these were the clues to go, oh my God, and then, you know, you make the whole Mouseketeer connection, and you're homebound with this thing.
Yeah, well, most Mouseketeers are definitely under, you know, Justin Timberlake, all those characters. Yeah, definitely. Mind-controlled slaves, and I believe their music has a lot of NASA programming shit involved with it as well.
They're used in high-profile rituals, like Justin bearing Janet Jackson's breast with a sundial on her breast, so yeah. That the breast was the goddess and the sundial the god, and you know, the goddess is Inanna, or Ashtart, and Madonna is Esther, and
it only cost $250,000 in fines. That's what I thought was funny. They charged him $250,000 in fines. And this is during an event where a commercial cost,
yeah.
What, how many millions for 30 seconds?
Yeah. And another intriguing thing for those people that still believe they're not in a control matrix, they mentioned how many times people TiVo'd that.
Exactly. I mean, right off the
they
bat.
They know exactly what you're watching.
Yeah, right off the bat they knew that. I mean, we're talking the next morning, they're all talking about the TiVo numbers.
Yes. I don't know. I don't live in any illusion that I'm not, you know, under surveillance. And there's no doubt to me that we're all databased.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. It's like I always laugh when people ask me on my Skype cast, do you think we're being recorded? Or they freak out if I'm recording them. And it's like, man, come on. At least I'm not the bad guy recording you and, you know, possibly using this for devious purposes. Although I have recorded some people on my Skype cast where they've been in recordings where I would like to use in sound clips, so.
Yeah.
Because there are some people on there. I mean, it's people from all over the world. And so you're going to obviously get some very, very great free thinkers everywhere. Everywhere on the planet there's great free thinkers. But you're also going to get idiots from absolutely everywhere. And it depends on the time of day you're on where the idiots are going to be coming from, and same with the free thinkers.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. At 4 a.m., all the Koreans are getting off work, and it's like you'll have, 2 million Koreans on Skype, and it's amazing how things will change in a matter of 2 hours after that. So.
Yeah, it'd be very intriguing. I love this opportunity to talk to the world. It's an amazing thing, and I hope more and more people pick up on it.
I've been starting to find a few more people from Revere coming on there, but not too many. But like I said before, also, if people want my username on that, just when you add me as a user, just tell me, you know, you want to just tell me who you are, basically, so I know it's not just someone wanting to send me some bug or some virus, which some people do, and just tell me you're one of the listeners or you listen to the show and you want to come play on Skypecast, because that's what it is. It's just we have a good time on there. We do talk some very serious topics and discussions, but we overall try to make everybody half-ass happy about everything. Definitely no doom and gloom constantly. I'm not into fear-mongering. I just... and it's like with Cassini and Saturn, I don't know. It's just theory, just like people saying, you know, they release an atomic bomb on Earth, it'll rip a hole in the atmosphere. It didn't happen. But then again, they say it did rip a hole in the space-time continuum.
Yeah, all of a sudden we got flying saucers.
Yeah, so...
Of course, you know, then that involved occultism.
Well, you know, the same with the atomic bomb. I mean, people really need to do their research on Jack Parsons and OTO and Aleister Crowley and these people we've talked about. I know a lot of things we've talked about tonight, we really don't have time to explain everything. I mean, it's so hard just to, you know, talk about what we're talking about, but to explain absolutely everything in detail, well, that's what Google's for. Yeah.
And go to freemantv.com, and I have used the links that are in the articles, because I put all the backup evidence data and everything in the links in the articles. And there's so much intriguing stuff in there. You'll see the pictures of Iapetus and see how it looks like the Death Star, and
oh,
all
no,
the explanations
no.
on how it was crafted.
And that's a great video, by the way. That's all your videos I enjoy very much so. And that's, you know, I remember one of my listeners, her talking about that to me about 2 or 3 years ago. And talking about it being a Death Star. I believe it was from Richard Hoagland.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was talking about our moon possibly being fake, etc. I said, well, there's so many theories on what could be up with our moon. It's absolutely, you know, mind-boggling. Let alone what's on the dark side of the moon. Oh, nothing can live there. It's too cold. And it's dark. Why would they want to live there?
yeah, we're still wondering whether or not we went to the moon.
Yeah. Well,
actually,
I think we have been. I just don't think... Or maybe we are trapped like Tessarian talks about.
When you watch Secret Space or A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and you see that the space shuttle cannot go above 850 miles, cannot travel into the radiation belts, and...
Well, look at the fact that NASA...
So that this is not possible for the space shuttle.
Well, look at the fact that NASA has $100 million up for any university that can come up with a way to get through the Van Allen radiation belt.
Yeah. Have you seen the faked images of them faking the Earth?
Uh-huh. I have. And people that...
Have you seen Astronauts Gone Wild?
Yes, I love that one. That's absolutely hilarious.
You're left wondering, you know, because absolutely in Astronauts Gone Wild, you can tell that Buzz and all they are afraid because this guy has just put their life on the line.
Yeah.
And I think it's way bigger than whether or not they went to the moon.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's like what they, you know, I've also seen, you know, a subject on that... Stanley Kubrick was the one who directed the moon landing.
Yes.
And they did that.
On top of that,
and Nixon says they did that because
Buzz Aldrin brought back from the moon, and that's housed at the Supreme Mother Council of the World in D.C.
Yeah, the picture of him with his Masonic apron on the moon.
But no, they have the flag that Buzz Aldrin brought to the moon. It's in glass at the Temple of the 33rd.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's why people can't see it with their telescopes.
Well, we did go to the moon, but they didn't want us to show us the Masonic ritual they did there.
Yeah.
No? But now, watching these things, it's hard to know. And we're in such a place that we can't know anything we see, feel, hear.
Touch, smell. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're
like... Yeah, how do you taste genetically modified? You know? It's definitely a creepy, creepy... situation either way it goes. I mean, because people say, well, you know, if they fake the moon landing, how are all these UFO things, and you know, if they're in cahoots with them, why can't they, you know, do that? You know, what about Bill Cooper, William Cooper?
Yeah, the secret space program is totally viable.
And you know, all that, you know, and when we look at the actual space program and the landing on the moon, why would NASA put $100 million up to any university that can help them get through the Van Allen radiation belt? But yet, of course, on a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, they're talking about skipping through the Van Allen radiation belt, et cetera, et cetera. And even in Wikipedia, they skipped across it. Like tossing a pebble across a lake.
Yeah.
Which I just, when they say that, it's like shake my other leg and play, you know, it plays Jingle Bells. Because I think it's on one of the two videos, they're talking to two different astronauts, and both their stories don't even coincide, because they're talking about landing on the moon. One of them, well, you're in the vacuum of space, so you don't hear the engines or anything like that. You know, you just feel the rumbling. And the other one, oh, it's so loud, you can barely hear anything, on the exact same event happening.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, it sounded like these guys were in two different events, but it's the same event. There's just two different interviews, and they talk about two different events. The shock on one of them during the press interview, I can't remember the two astronauts at hand, but it was a press conference when they come back from their moon landing. And they were talking about the stars. They were asked the questions, could, you know, what the stars look like? One of them, oh, they were great, la la la. The other one, we couldn't see them.
Yeah.
But
now, on the other hand, have you seen the footage of Neil Armstrong films Ancient Structures on the Moon? It's up on Google or YouTube.
I don't think I have seen that yet.
It is absolutely astronauts filming rectilinear structures on the moon. So once again, you know, the whole world tossed back up into the air. It's something.
Well, it's like last year they find all the footage, all the good footage of the moon landing in a basement at an observatory in Australia. They spent how many dollars on this mission, and they don't have the good footage?
I would think
I would be wanting the good footage if I spent all that money, but no, they just had the shitty footage they had for a satellite feed so they could spread it throughout the world.
Yeah.
But they found the good footage now that digital imaging has improved so well. Maybe they photoshopped better this time and took the spray marks off the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Damn that sound studio. But according to, you know, the story on We Didn't Land on the Moon, and on that side of it, it's also said that the fake filming was given to the people, the fake moon landing. But we really did land on the moon. But the reason we did a fake filming of it was in case things went wrong and we couldn't get it, because we didn't want to have...
And another side report said because of all the flying saucers that were sitting there when the rocket landed. Have you seen that report?
No, I haven't. No, but, you know, if you talk to Bill Cooper, if he was still alive, he would be like, yeah. And then go to this planet, or to this planet. Go to Mars, you know.
I mean, you know, according to David Hatcher Childress, or at least reports that he has, Tesla and Marconi had a flying saucer base back in 1930, somewhere around there, that they would make regular trips to Mars with their flying saucers. And there's absolute proof that the Nazis had flying saucers, so... When we've got old Fife Symington coming out saying, oh, it absolutely is an alien craft, we couldn't possibly have that technology, I'm going, wait a minute now, I think they're pulling blue beam out of their pocket, and I think it's going to go along with astrological events, and this is all a big show, but dangerous.
Do you think that how that goes as well on, like, who's in power or who's creating the wars on, like, the ley lines that they're on? It's like, you know, we had the Nazis in Germany, you know, doing the whole Aryan thing, of course, and, you know, we're talking about UFOs and Mars, and as far as I'm concerned, the Nazis were created by the banks and by the Americans.
And they were created by the Thule Society. Never underestimate the occultists.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know all their symbols were based on occultism. I mean, you look at the SS, that symbol itself is from the runestones.
You know,
that's from the runestones. And so it's very much so into the cult. But you look at Germany back in the 20s and 30s, the whole country was into the occult at the time. I mean, that's very simple to find out just by looking through old papers, etc. Vegetarianism was a big thing. I found this... It was a funny piece of propaganda that I found on the internet. Hitler was a drug-free vegetarian. Eat meat and do drugs. But I thought it was pretty funny. But he was not drug-free. Actually, he was doped up pretty bad, from what I hear. Well, so was John Kennedy, for that matter. But
yeah, it was probably chlorohydrate. You know, same with Sam and Nicole.
Yeah, they got her, definitely. I didn't, you know, I still haven't really got your whole take on that, as far as, you know, what's up with the ritual on that, and of course how Britney plays anything, if and why her breakdown is happening.
I tell you what, Freeman TV or on FreemanArchives.com. Freeman Archives has all my shows.
There you go.
Shows and the radio shows.
And yeah, you're going to be archiving your radio shows there as well?
Yeah, everything's archived up there.
Yeah, and also my archives are going to be changing as well. I believe it's at fromthebunker.info. You can go there. And I only have last week's show posted so far. in the March folder. January and February slots are still empty, and I will put my older shows in those this week. And, of course, I will upload this ASAP tonight, and it will be available for download after you listen to this stream. And you can just go to, like I said, I think it's, yeah, it is. It's fromthebunker.info. And I'd like to thank Rob Revere and Jonathan at Phalon.com and for giving me that domain. And I have not messed with it. I know nothing about web pages or how to build them or how to mess with them. So Rob says he is going to teach me on some, I don't know, some software called Dreamweaver. But I heard from other people, oh no, don't use that, use this, and I don't know anything about it, so I don't know. It'll be slowly coming about, but the archives will be there, and they will be available. And
that's all I've been doing. I have had to learn a new technology since the moment I landed in Austin, and that's really all I've been doing is learning new technology. I just moved on to a new editing program, and now I've picked up the radio show, so I'm learning a new one there. And I had to get my it's just madness, man, just constantly learning new technology.
Well, hopefully we can get you on Skype pretty soon, man. And I'm easy to find there, Direwolf420, and I'm the only one on Skype, and it's definitely crazy. I usually do an AM cast and a PM cast. And both of them are definitely interesting, but crazy casts of characters come on at those times as well. It gets heated every once in a while. And
I'm sure.
But not very often. And there is a few stupid people that come on that are just like, you've got to be kidding me. And they're not.
Stupid people help. Yeah, you know, they really help you get your message out. But
sometimes I wonder if they're doing it on purpose, just because they're bored.
Well, you know what I've found, and really I stopped leaving comments, the ability to put comments on my videos, because it's those people that want to shout out, you know. I found that it's the ones that want to piss on the wall that leave their mark. 10,000 people would witness or view one of my videos and four comments, and they're all pissers. They're all egos.
Yeah.
And so I just found that those are the generally the ones that come forward. That's why I stopped taking phone calls on the show as well as on the TV show, because it's just like, oh, where are all the intelligent people? Well, they're sitting back thinking. And
exactly. They're out researching and asking the right questions to themselves that I just pose to them. So.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. It's posing some questions, and then yourself asking what questions of these things, you know, is like, oh my God, that's insane. But go research it, and it's not really that difficult. And, yeah, Freeman's videos, they're definitely talk about informing, and you've definitely done a great job on researching for people. Freeman, Tessarian, and Jordan Maxwell are the three people that I advise anyone at any given time. If you want to know what's going on, these are the three people to listen to, and I usually give them in that order. Or actually, it goes Freeman, Freeman, Jordan Maxwell, then Tessarian, because I don't think people will understand Tessarian, what he's saying, unless they've gone through your material and Maxwell's material.
Yeah.
They'll definitely be lost going right into Tessarian, that's for sure, because that character, you better have some homework done, otherwise you're going to be lost.
He's esoteric, boy.
Yeah, definitely. But so enjoyable. I really enjoy his theories and his way of thinking and what he's brought to us as far as his research has gone. I wish he'd hurry up and come out with his book. I've been waiting for it for over a year.
People will be saying that to me as well.
Yeah. But, you know, all in due time, I guess.
And speaking of writing, I want to announce that I'm answering an article of questions for this guy on Waking the Midnight Sun, and that's going to go up Saturday. It's a long article where I talk a lot about, you know, what I think, and this guy's asked some really great questions, so I've been having a lot of fun writing it.
Nice.
So it's the website, well, I'll have it linked up to Freeman TV. I think if you just search Waking the Midnight Sun, it's
Very nice. Yeah, I did that one time with a guy on MySpace. It was the first time I did it, so I wasn't... And I got really loaded. I did. I just got smashed and answered it. And I was like, I really wanted to go back and delete a lot of what I had said. It was like, oh, well,
Yeah, you got to be careful when you're going on the record, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just too free. I don't think that way. I don't... Because I don't see myself in any type of a role of leadership or anything like that. I don't want to be at all. I want to find answers to my questions and pose questions to others, and hopefully they can come back. Because it's amazing, from just doing my Skype cast, the people that bring me all types of information, whether I have it or not, it's always wonderful because... it's always a constant learning process, and they got their eyes open. But unfortunately, a couple characters that I've got a hold of, they have jumped right into Tessarian or something because of my past interviews with them. They've caught them in past shows, so asking a lot of questions. And it's like, man, you got to go back. You got to go through all the Freeman yummies, then you got to go through all Jordan Maxwell, and then he'll start to make sense to you. You've got to understand your word knowledge, and definitely... I would do some research into Blavatsky and into Crowley and all those characters as well, which is wonderful research and great reading. Although, well, Blavatsky is extremely difficult to read.
Yeah, they're all
extremely difficult.
That's the one thing I say about these guys is they sure do go through a lot of effort.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm asked if their motives, I'm like, well, there's got to be one. You know, I've got some guesses on motives, but my God, this is so unusual. But there's just so much data, so much effort, so many structures. I mean, you know, putting occultic symbols in the street plans of the Capitol.
You know, someone asked me why there's such a high percentage of people in Austin that are free thinking, and I came back to them, not knowing Austin well, though, so I don't know if I was correct in doing so, and I said that as well. Because I'm not coming from there and not knowing Austin well at all. I haven't been to Austin in 15 plus years. But I said, I don't think it's a matter of such a high percentage of people. I think it's more they're allowed by regulations via where they're at to have more public access stations or more popular public access stations than most people in the country, or even have it, because you would be amazed on the cities that don't even have it. Or if they do, they don't really offer it. You know what I mean? They don't let it be known. And Portland's public access, it's come out somewhat, but not really as hard as I would like it to. And also with radio. And so I find Austin, you know, being one of those places. And when you got evangelists like, or I shouldn't say evangelists, but when you got preachers like Tex Mars, you know, being a man that's been in the industry for I don't know how many years, but having the largest conspiratorial library on the planet, I think that would have a good thing of starting some generating some free thinking, or at least people looking in a direction. But unfortunately, they're seeing Satan in a lot of that direction.
exactly.
Which I'm not saying it's nothing evil that they're dealing with. It's not evil. It is bad. But I don't go with their boogeyman, eternal hell, damnation type things.
Right.
But I will agree with like possession, demon possession stuff, because I do believe in other dimensional characters. And
well, when these good Bible thumpers just disregard events in the Bible like wrestling matches with angels, even from a biblical standpoint, you have to take in a bigger picture.
And when I pay attention, you know, when I quote the Bible, people are like, what are you talking about? You're not a Christian. It's like, no, you just got to understand that, you know, this is coded too. Oh, you go off on Da Vinci Code crap. I'm like, no, man. It's like, and a lot of Hollywood ruins things for any arguments as well, but because people are so, oh well, you just watch this. I've still yet to watch the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah,
I got it on audio.
I was really glad that I put out Columbia before I ever read it.
Yeah, well, I got it on audiobook, and I have still yet to listen to it because it always puts me to sleep.
You gotta watch the Tom Hanks version, man.
Do you recommend it?
Oh, no.
The
reading was interesting. And when you watch what this programming is doing, it actually is outlining a way for the Merovingians to become the true ruling class of Israel. And for me, the Merovingians are top of the bloodline, you know, it's the Sinclairs, and vampiristic in my book. And so what this does is outline a passage for them to be the true bloodline of Jesus Christ and therefore the true King of Israel. And that's what I think is the plan with that propaganda.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting that in the movie version, even in the book, they didn't get into the goddess too much, but they mention her, and they lead you into the goddess and the pentagram theories, but then they just leave you hanging. So then you got to come to Freeman and watch Columbia to figure out what the hell they left out.
Yeah. And when it comes to the pentagram, you know, there's so much different meaning when it comes to the pentagram.
I have four. There's the power of mankind over the four elements.
And that's the proper—that's the proper pentagram, right?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
Because we have the proper pentagram, the upside down, and then the inverted pentagram. So
yeah, the differences in those, can be considered ethereal and good and bad, whatever. But there are other. Yeah, the Venus makes a five-pointed star every 8 years. Venus is equated with the five-pointed star, and well, hell, there's one more. Got to go to my website and read it.
Yeah, dog star, Venus, man, and other
yummies. That's the meaning of the pentagram on the flag is man's manipulation of the real world, and that's why there is a flag for each state's manipulation of its world.
Yeah, and the flags of the states are definitely interesting. There's some really crazy flags out there. I can't remember the state right offhand. Is it Colorado that's got the big all-seeing eye on it?
I think they have a...
On their state seal? It's the state seals what I'm not thinking of, not their flags, but their state seals. But did you know their national, or not their national, but their state song is some Walking in the Columbine or something like that?
Yeah. I've actually filmed some Columbine there. I have shots from Colorado's Scottish Rite Temple in my Columbia film as well, and they've got a large Scottish Rite Temple right across from the Capitol Dome, which has a phallus, obelisk, which is due west of the Capitol in Colorado. I find that interesting because typically they're due north, and I'm not certain, but west is the sign of Horus and in some philosophies. And so, anyway, you know, or death, you know, the west is the sun setting.
Well, Colorado also has the FEMA incinerators that can burn up 100,000 people a day in case of a bioweapons attack. They admit this, you know, they like this because in case we're infected,
Colorado is the home of the United States Space Force, the Missile Defensive Shield, and NORAD. You know?
Yeah.
That should be enough. I remember way back when, boy, when I was trying to tell people about the United States Space Force, and everybody just thinks I'm insane.
Oh, well, of course.
And now it's on Stargate. Like, but still nobody knows. They still don't realize.
Oh, people think I'm a nutter, and then I turn them on to your stuff, and it's like, oh, it confirms it for them. And it's like, because I turn them on to you to start with. Because I think you're one of the best places to start if you want to research who these people, what they do, what they're up to, what their symbols are. And it is, it's really the first step of learning what the hell's up with this. And you ask some of the best questions, and then to go hit into Jordan Maxwell and go get into word meaning, which is just
insane. I love his whole Murr thing.
I mean, when it comes to word meaning, Jordan Maxwell is hands down the king of this stuff, people, and he can there's plenty of info with him on, and plenty of lectures with him on Google Video. If not Google Video, the same thing, YouTube. LiveLeak, a lot of people have been using it, which I haven't had very many problems with so far, and I hear it gives you plenty of space and is not obviously corporate dominant controlled, or CIA controlled for that matter. When it comes to Google, that's who I believe is the operators of Google, is NASA.
Or the NSA NASA. Created the internet, you know.
Yeah, it's here for a reason. I mean, but I'm glad it's here as well. I'm so glad.
I love being able to do what we're doing right now and just, you know, allow people to witness you know, different mindsets, because we get so programmed that we don't get any free speech whatsoever. Yeah. Everything on Hollywood is
programming. I remember talking to Sonny Crack one time about the Bible Camp, and it's when it was before it came out at theaters, and before it was out on video, of course. There was the trailer for the theater. So it was last year, and I was freaked out about this. And of course, he went on about the manipulation of the camera, and, you know, it's how whatever the documentarian wants to put it as. And I'm like, I completely agreed with him. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be so quick to judge this off the trailer of the film. But I don't think these people would have all agreed to it if there wasn't something behind it, you know, on saying, yeah, this is who we are. And it was. It was like, hey, this is who we are. There wasn't really questions asked of them, or too many, that were really setting them up for anything. We were just asking opinion. But it had this one girl in a... I don't know if you've got to watch this documentary yet. If you have...
You're talking about...
Jesus Camp.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
You got to at least watch it once. It's absolutely amazing. You want to talk about brainwashing and manipulation? It's just mind-boggling. There's this little girl. She's like 10 years old, maybe. She's at a bowling alley. Of course, the cameras are on, so she feels, I'm sure, a little more holy than thou, because this is Jesus Camp, after all, and they are doing a film about Jesus and Jesus' followers. And not to pin all Christians with this. This is fundamentalist Christians here in America, which number about 80 to 90 million. But well over the majority of Christians in this country. This little girl goes up to this blonde, this older teenager, this late teens, and a cute girl. She goes up to her, and she witnesses to her, telling her God told her this and this, that He told me to come and tell you how he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, etc., etc., etc. I went off on this whole little sermon thing and gave her this little pamphlet and then left. And the, you know, poor girl's like going, and then the girl's got a camera in her face. She doesn't really know what to do, so she just like smiles and says, yeah, and kind of thumbs through the little pamphlet. And then the little girl goes to her dad or counselor, whoever the hell it is, and... Oh, I just witnessed to this girl. Yes, yes, and yes, the Lord told me to. I felt it, and then he really told me, and then it was like, oh my God. I mean, just the it blows me away. This young man who is going to become a preacher, and he's a young preacher, he's 11 years old, but he was saved, and he found Christ at 5 years old because he had more questions in life. Well, I would imagine at 5 years fucking old, you would have more questions in life, people. But he witnesses to others now, and he got to talk to Ted Haggard, you know, and I thought that was pretty good. Ted Haggard was in the film, and of course the film came out before his little sex scandal came out, and the fact did come out in the film that he visits with Bush every Monday. I wonder what they visit about. So
if you understand that their method of operation is the two pillars, you know, Jack and Boaz, or the two columns of Atlantis, that they control the black and the white, and they then generate the middle through this, then you'll see that as their Jesus Camp is teaching these kids the programming to do their Jesus rituals, Scooby-Doo is teaching the other kids occultism, you know, along with Walt Disney. So they build the conflicting energies.
What's the biggest selling movie and book of all times for kids? Harry Potter.
You know, exactly.
You want to talk about teaching occultism?
Programming the occultic.
And people are like, "Oh, but Harry Potter's not real." It's like, I'm sorry, I deal with the occult as far as with OTO people all the time, and Harry Potter is about as real as it gets with the occult. They believe all of these things. I mean, sure, there's some fairy tale magic crap in there, but they deal with some extremely real things, and I find the names they use in that just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And for this chick to come up with this story out of the blue on a train ride, oh, my God.
There were heavy reports of her. She was sued for a while for plagiarism because she copied this seemingly word for word as far as character generation goes from another story.
Yeah. I haven't heard about that yet. I heard she had never practiced in the cult or anything like that in an interview. I heard her say that she never had anything to do with the cult. And then, like, 3 or 4 years later, oh, very much so, she's been into the cult for many years, so. I mean, but, you know, I mean, listen to John McCain, that sounds like him, like, the next day after a speech, so. It took this lady 3 years to change her song and dance, John McCain, or any politician for that matter. I'm just using John McCain, for instance, because that guy, I've never seen anyone more hypocritical in my life. I mean, at least Bush is an idiot puppet that says the same thing over and over. John McCain just flat out lies constantly and changes his mind every other day. And I don't get how people actually think these people are leaders in any sense or sort of the matter. And this doesn't go for just America's leaders. This goes for everybody's.
If you just realize that if you take the study of trauma-based mind control and make it global, then that's what's going on. You know, we're all being traumatized. We hardly feel emotions anymore. I mean, if you recognize that political correctness is a form of mind control, then you start to see how controlled we really are. And that's, once you've taken that picture, then you can start to break free.
Oh, it is massive control, and it's in different scales everywhere, some of them experiencing similar things. But it, you know, it's all to matter, and it's all experimenting. I don't think they've got it down to a science to get us all going. I guarantee without the internet, I think a lot of us would either... I think the internet is what saved me from insanity.
Yeah.
I'm serious, because I would think, as most people, I'm alone in this bizarre thinking. And I wasn't always correct on my thinking at all. Not that I am now. I believe I'm more correct because I'm more in tune with how these guys play. But I don't understand it. And I usually speak of things, granted, that are all planetary here, very terrestrial. Obviously, tonight's cast has been more about very things extraterrestrial. But they still have very earthly meaning, all of it does, because that's what these guys are into.
The governor said there was an alien craft over Arizona. How real does it need to get?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, but there's videos of... what I believe to be man-made UFOs all over. And I've seen plenty of those. I've seen plenty of man-made UFOs. But I've seen video of the UFO, I don't know whether it was man-made or ET or terrestrial, but, you know, somewhere underground. I don't know. Or underwater. Because that's another very big possibility. I don't have the answer for that, but all I do know is I've seen the video of it, and it's NASA raw space footage of them shooting at it with, like Freeman put it, as a pulse cannon, because that's what it looks like. It looks like a pulse cannon from Star Wars, so that's a good name for it, because I don't know what else to call it. And that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like that big old pulse cannon they shot out from the planet to go get the other ships.
Yep. So they could be free. Arriving over northern Africa.
Well, what about the ones in Mexico? And this was on CNN.
That I saw. The craft that I saw absolutely was not an earthly craft. There's no way. I'll never believe that we have that ability.
Well, I have seen UFOs multiple times in my real world life, and I've seen them on video on CNN. The Arizona lights, I remember that show going down on CNN. I also remember... like the head of Mexico's military, he was coming to meet with some other politicians in Mexico City, and he was getting out of his limousines, out of his limousine with his escorts and what have you. And he looks up in the sky, and he's like, whoa. And, of course, all the cameras look up in the sky, and there's all these UFOs. And it's like 7 or 8 of them, if not more. And they're just flying around. And it's crazy as all hell. I don't know. I don't know if they're man-made. I don't know if they're ET. I don't know.
That's where we're at.
But I do believe, don't get me wrong, I definitely do believe in ETs. I'm a firm believer in ETs. I believe that's ignorant thinking to not believe in them.
Yeah, it seems a little weird.
So that seems weird to me not to believe in extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
So because that's just, I think we're extraterrestrials to an extent.
Okay.
I mean, granted, we were born here, et cetera, but our species is not terrestrial of this planet. If anything beings terrestrial as we were genetically manipulated and modified here on this planet.
It sounds like you got a few hours to go through on Freeman Archives, because I've got Dr. Sala up now, and I just got that show uploaded, and he's the head of the Exopolitics Institute.
Uh-huh.
Me and him simply discussed the 57 different alien species interacting with Earth at this time.
You know, I've heard that from a couple people.
Four or eight of them.
This guy that came in the herbarium here a few years back, and he went off on this list of aliens. And I was just like, what? I mean, this guy was out there. I needed some mushrooms to talk to this guy.
Yeah, well, not Dr. Sala, boy. He's the man.
Right on. Well, definitely.
You know, the curious thing is that all of the same evidence that he came, or the conclusions he came to by gathering the data from the UFO networks, I came to the same conclusions using the symbolism of the Freemasons. So I find that truly intriguing, because we have the same answers and we came at it from completely different routes. And once you start to realize it, you recognize that, you know, humans have been placed into an alien captivity on planet Earth, and we mine this planet for resources. That's our job. And the rest is just to build technology to help whatever it is this agenda is, which seems them needing to get away really fast in the near future.
Now, a question with Cassini that was brought up from my friend Dave and another guy he was talking about on the forum that he had this video posted up. It was real interesting because they were talking about this, if this star did happen, if like maybe the radiation was being used to destroy whatever is like holding them here, as Tessarian would put it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a possibility of it. And I was like, I don't ever respond to forums, because I find forums, I don't know, I get too involved with things sometimes, and forums are not a way for me to be involved. I talk too much, and I can't just do a couple sentences and leave it at that. And
sure.
I don't want to sit there and type for days either and leave these huge text places up. So they're both they were legitimate questions and looking at it. It's one of those things. I don't have an answer for it. I just find the date extremely interesting.
There was a something else that was going to occur on 7/7.
Well, the 7/7 bombings.
Right. But there was something, somebody was releasing a film on 7/7 that was, a friend had sent me, talked to me about. She'll be mad at me that I don't remember. We do see an agenda. We do see a time-based schedule. There absolutely is. That's why I wanted to add Richard Hoagland to your list with Jordan Maxwell and Tessarian, because
Hoagland's another one of those I would probably watch after Maxwell as well, after Jordan Maxwell, because Hoagland,
everything he's got,
really
outlines what's going on with the hyperdimensional physics, and then you understand why that storm is placed where it is, and you also start to recognize that NASA is launching launches according to astrological, i.e. occultic, agendas, and that these timelines are set up in this fashion.
Well, Well, it's like Tessarian's been saying as well, you know, it's all, it's, you know, it's their symbol. That's what these rockets are, symbols. And so there's
well,
all, there's
you know,
all kinds
I,
of
I
meaning
I still think
in
they're
them.
Loading the gold up to the ISIS, waiting for the Elohim to return myself, but that's my own pet theory. It just makes the most sense.
That they're loading gold?
Mm-hmm. All the gold's missing, man. There's no gold in Fort Knox. The gold was all missing out from underneath the Twin Towers. And what have we been launching all these shuttles out to the ISS for? And what has this planet always done but mine gold and give it to the bearded white men? And then we've got the stories of Zechariah Sitchin and the Agigi who lived out in the space station around the Earth that would, you know, process and send all the gold to Anu on his arrival. And before Anu's arrival, they would have these massive celebrations, and what we had in our Y2K celebration was nothing but a big celebration to the gods as they burnt the river Styx and tried to cap the Great Pyramid with gold and made the sun rise in the west.
But they didn't get to cap their pyramid, though.
No, no. Very curious note on that, saying the Muslims stopped the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. I mean, that was the headline of USA Today.
Well, do you think that messed up part of their ritual then? I mean, do you think these things have true effect on
them? I think it's all ritual. I don't think that they're, you know, the USA Today is absolutely a Freemason paper. I think that it's all play, you know. I don't believe that the Saddam Hussein that was hung was the one that was enacted in the ritual. It's all a show and a you know, an energetic play. It's
and we talked about that earlier today on my cast on it. Is that, you know, it's just like Shakespeare said, which is another luminary,
Francis Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like he said, you know, the world is a stage, and that's exactly what all these guys are a bunch of actors. That's what these leaders are, or what have you. They're your guys. They're not the ones behind the scenes running the show. Some of them are heavily involved, but usually they're not part of the show anymore as far as being on the stage.
Yeah, it's you know, it's programmed for your reaction. So they train us on how to react to the events that they're going to enact. And so that we're predictable and we can, you know, and they are reality manufacturers. They control and create reality for us.
So if it's all about, do you think it's just all about mining the gold then, or the
no,
natural resources?
The occultic side of it. So there has to be a larger picture to this. There is the evilness that we must deal with. Although sometimes I think that they think that if they enact the heaviest evil, it'll bring about the ultimate good, because they're into this alchemical wedding, you know, the unions and whatnot. So perhaps they're, you know, bringing about this devil in order to bring about a Christ, you know. Sometimes I wonder, because they are very intelligent people. We're not talking about shysters.
Oh, exactly. It's like I said, read Aleister Crowley, Blavatsky, Jack Parsons. I mean,
Francis Bacon, Manly T. Hall.
Yeah. All these cats are extremely extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein.
Certainly.
You know, all these guys are cabalists as well. And that, I think that's where a lot of this knowledge is coming from, is from the cabal.
That's the thing, and they've always been extraterrestrial. Everything about them has always, I mean, from the pyramids on up to NASA, it's always been extraterrestrial for these guys.
Why do you think that, like, because when I mentioned Kabbalah on my cast, automatic reaction is, and I swear I get this almost every time, because there's always new people around. I mean, sure, some of the people are the same, but there's always some new people on there, and it's always, oh, you mean the Madonna religion?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why do you think it is that she is promoting, and, you know, Kabbalism is being promoted? If it, you know, well, obviously, I don't think, even if it is promoted and people get into it and give it money, they still won't get anything out of it, because I find it funny online. People are like, well, what does it say? And I'm like, well, if you look at it, it's the size of a small magazine, as far as the words go. It's in Hebrew, but you have to know Hebrew. But not only that, it's all coded text. Well, oh, so you mean like Da Vinci Code, then it goes back into that art. It's like, oh my God, you know, just get out of that paradigm for a second and look at it for what it
is. Cameras are doing their job.
You know, it's magic is what it is. It's ancient magic, and it's ancient Jewish mysticism at its finest. And I believe all these religions have been created with some truths in them, definitely. But I think they've all been created, of course, as just more barriers. It's this giant,
I mean, if
it's
you look
this
at
giant
the
spider
picture
web.
Picture comes, and you're speaking of giants, because the first telling of sorcery began, given to mankind is by Shemyaza and Azrael, the fallen angels. That's when sorcery was given to the women. And also women were taught to paint their faces and dress up and play the part that they're playing in the 21st century. It's astounding if you look at it from this perspective, and then you follow this sorcery through these bloodlines, and you'll find that it's always cannibalistic and vampiristic. Even Christianity drinks the flesh, or drinks the blood and eats the flesh of Christ, you know. This occult ritual.
Yeah, Jewish rabbis, not all of them, but there's still to this day, there's Jewish rabbis that are known to, when they do the frisking, when they do the circumcision, they suck the blood from the penis.
Absolutely.
And so that's very vampiristic. And I'm not saying all rabbis do this, but there are quite a few that do.
And what we find is that it's passed through this genetic line, that these bloodlines actually carry the memory of this technology, which is spiritual, which we call the Kabbalah. And, you know, we're getting showcase Kabbalah now with Britney and Madonna. Madonna takes it very serious, but I see it once again as the two pillars, because we're always looking at the Hegelian dialectic, because we're dealing with spooks, we're dealing with intelligence operatives, you know. Crowley was MI6, you know, it's all intelligence operatives.
Crowley was MI6. And
they're building up the rationale of the Muslims that say that we're evil, and this is when I find it so intriguing that it said the Muslims stopped the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold, because America is being set up as Satan. And so then they once again get the two polarities going and generate a war, and that's what they've always done. That's what they did with America and Britain, you know. It's the Freemasons that threw the tea in the water. And so you got to watch them manufacturing the polarities. So that's why it's known as the Madonna religion.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's very interesting by any means. And as far as I'm concerned, Madonna's a complete mind control subject. When I first started researching mind control here about 7 years back, 8 years back, when I really got interested in the subject, I found, you know, when I started looking at Hollywood and music in the music industry, she was one of the first people I looked at. It was like, and not because of her name either, because I didn't have that correlation. Knowing she changed her name to that, that's another one of those things. It's just like, you know, oh wow. You can see how it's totally set up.
How unbelievable is it that Three Mouseketeers all won the Grammy?
Yeah.
Does this not ring out to other people as contrived? I think so.
Well, you know, Disney knows how to scope talent, just like Nickelodeon.
Oh, right.
Just like Nickelodeon knows how to scope it out.
And then they all turn out to be Kabbalists, non-panty-wearing, running around showing their crotches off to everybody.
Yeah. It's like Jessica Simpson, I'm all Miss Innocent, Virgin Christian, till I get married, and I don't know. It's really disturbing.
It is disturbing. I was very disturbed after I was done with that report that I did. I'm still getting over it, honestly. And I gotta, you know, I make little jokes here and there now. But honestly, when I'm looking at Brittany's eyes now, I see a whole different story, and I really.
You know what? I even see it in Willie Nelson, though. I mean,
I'm very angry at Disney.
Well, Bill Hicks, you know, he would be upset with me, but I think if he was alive today, I think he would actually agree with me on the fact of Willie Nelson being another mind control subject.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, the music.
I really enjoy Willie Nelson. I do as an entertainer. I think he's awesome, but I see him as being a mind control victim, if not even a handler himself. just for the fact of him doing, you know, I remember Bill Hicks when he was still alive going off on the Willie Nelson, you know, Willie Nelson's allowed to do commercials because of the predicament he was in. Well, he's been out of that predicament for many years now. And he's done quite a few deals in Hollywood with, of all things, the Dukes of Hazzard, with Jessica Simpson and one of those freak shows from Jackass, which I think are all extremely mind-controlled, let alone that that one, that Bam, whatever his name is, his show that he had on MTV. It was, I mean, extremely occultic as far as all the symbols used in it.
Spreading Project Mayhem on top of that. They need us all going wild in the streets, you know.
I think so. I think they want that because that way they can declare their martial law and get their prison industry kicked up. And
did you hear about the killing homeless for fun?
Yeah.
122 attacks, 22 murders or something of that count.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting what's happening to the home. People got to realize in this country.
Hey, this is
a country that has
operation. I see this as Project Mayhem, and these are agent provocateurs.
We have over 20 million homeless in this country, and here this is a country that spends anywhere from $5 to $9 billion a week in Iraq.
Yeah,
and we have 20 million homeless people. You know, one of my friends from China asked me the other day, what would you do if you were president? And, well, they'd kill me if I was president. Automatically, I would never get there. They would never let anyone like myself or anyone that was free-thinking be part of this control paradigm. Not at all. They kill people like that. Even the ones who are in the control paradigm that decide to speak the truth, they're taken from us, just like John F. Kennedy. Why Martin Luther King was killed, I still don't understand, because he was an agent provocateur, and a total hypocrite. I found him to be beneficial to the man. I don't know why he was taken out. I never did get that one. But JFK, I can definitely tell you why he got taken out. There's so many reasons why.
There's an extraterrestrial connection to that story as well.
What's that?
He was also about releasing the information. There's an extraterrestrial, on top of the other financial and political, there was also an extraterrestrial side to the JFK shooting.
I could see that happening, definitely with any president. I mean, I know Eisenhower was definite UFO believer and all that, because, of course, I'm sure he talked to him.
Degree Freemason.
Yeah, it's like when it comes to Bill Cooper and then arguing with people on Skype, they're like, how can you argue the moon landing with people when you will sit there and talk about Bill Cooper too and quote him on things? Like, well, when it comes to Bill Cooper, it's theory, because I don't know any of these things to be true or fact. I mean, his stories are amazing, and I know a lot of what he says is true. I know he has some out there stories, though. It could be true, could not be true. It's for you to decide. But when you do your homework, it's not all that unrealistic at all.
It's not.
It's so, why would they fake the moon landing? Well, why not? Because they're teasing you and entertaining you and keeping you more entwined and intrigued. And I'm not saying don't worry about what's going on in Iraq. Don't worry about what's going on in Israel or in America or in South America or in Asia. Do worry, but keep your eyes above too. I think there's a lot more to do with everything, but I don't know. I don't know where to say, tell people to pay attention to. I guess pay attention to what you feel is necessary, because I think your body will tell you what to pay attention to once you start thinking for yourself.
For me, this is when you get to the range of synchronicity. Once you get to this point, then my solution, as I offer synchronicity to you, you can only show it to yourself. I can't prove it. It's a faith, not a belief, and you can step out and be led to the proper events. I mean, my life is just a key example of synchronistic nature of life. So no matter how haywire it gets, you actually always feel you're in this guided love vibe that will keep you where you need to be to do whatever it is that your soul wants to do on planet Earth. And we've been usurped by the brainwashers that have taken control of our imagination, and now it really takes an act of desperation to move yourself into the synchronistic realms. It happens when there's massive catastrophes and people start linking together. It can also happen if you just totally change your perspective, which usually requires completely changing your living habits. So, like, if I recommend going on the road because it frees you from your belief structures, and yeah, then you're allowed to see the synchronistic realms.
Well, it's like I experienced a lot of road magic when I followed the dead, and it was, you know, people like, how could you do that for so long? You know, where'd you get the money? You know, it's like people ask me how I traveled to Europe as many times as I did. You know, you must be rich.
I was like, I don't know.
Like, you must be rich. And it's like, you know, actually, to tell you the truth on how I traveled to Europe, it was quite simple. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So what I did is I put away $5 every day. Add it up. Put away $5 every day. This was in the 90s. I put away $5 every day. I was bartending at the time. At the last month, I guess, before I would take off, I would put like maybe $15 a day away. And I would go off for a month and a half, 2 months, sometimes 3 months. And then I'd come back. People are like, how did you afford to stay for so long? It's not that hard. And as far as getting around, it's not that difficult either. Things
happen.
There is
a current. There's a current that exists, and money is a fabrication of that current. And so, you know, you needed the money to have liftoff to get yourself escape velocity. I have traveled across the country back and forth with 38 cents in my pocket and made it home with that 38 cents in my pocket, traveling in a vehicle,
yeah,
in a van at that. So, you know, you needed the money to get across the water, but once you got there, then the synchronicity started to fall into place, and you just let it go. You didn't have a plan, and you were like,
I didn't have any type of plan.
Next.
And had a beautiful, beautiful time
life.
Each time I went.
Lost.
And the only places I truly want, well, there's three places I truly want to go that I don't know when I'll go, or, well, actually, Southeast Asia I plan on visiting. I want to go this fall is when I plan on trying to do that trek. But I want to do Africa, Asia, and South America. And all of them, because there's places I want to go experience for myself. There's things that are just too hard to believe.
Coming our way, I'll tell you that. There's no doubt. I mean, these guys haven't gone 2 miles into the earth for nothing. So we've got quite the adventure in front of us.
Yeah. And as far as earth drilling goes, I cannot find the picture for the life of me, but I've seen it. I've seen it before, and I cannot find the picture of it. And it's really upsetting that I can't. And it's of a drill that the U.S. Air Force helped build.
I'll email it over to you.
Okay, cool. I love that picture, man.
Yeah. I used to have another one of the Ark 2. That was a crazy story that came out way back when, and it was a guy who had been hiking through the woods, found a camera busted on the ground, had the film developed, and it was of a plane. A pilot was flying past a mountain and was taking photos of a submarine marked the Ark 2 that was on a slide, and it came out of a cave on the top of a mountain down a slide to nowhere. And you can see where a military jet comes up, and then the plane's down, and the camera ends up with this hiker.
Oh, my, wow.
I used to have the pictures of the Ark 2, but I've lost them over the years.
Oh, wow. That's absolutely amazing. That's so crazy.
I used to have quite the X-File. I actually let it go.
Yeah, those things can get you in trouble as well. They can lead to bank robberies and such things.
I've always said I really just want to be incredible.
We don't even have to worry about that anymore because they're making thought crimes illegal. I mean, look at what they're doing to anyone that disagrees with the number of people killed in the supposed Holocaust. I can't use that word because the word's only used one other time in history before that, and that's a biblical term for the sacrifice with Cain and Abel. But I don't get it. So I don't get why, if people don't agree with what these other guys say, then don't agree with them. But you put them in prison for it. And that's another thing I like about Skype, is there's people that would come on and debate that and say, yes, they need to go to prison for saying such things. And then I say, well, what do you think about George Bush wanting to make it a UN mandate? I think that's right. So now you agree with Bush. Well, he's doing something right.
You better agree with Bush if you're going to have laws like that.
Now, I'm telling you what, you might as well. It's absolutely...
No, you better. Well, you're going to end up making Nikes in some tent world.
Yeah, well, that's soon to come, I think. Like you were saying earlier, Project Mayhem, I think that I personally believe they want things to blow up into a proportion with this NAFTA deal going through, and when the Pan-American Union is joined, I think they want some rioting to where they can marshal law and fill up their prisons that they have so kindly created for us, and have their slave labor as they need, and have one half working and have the other half watching.
I think it's going to get a lot weirder than that, but I agree with everything. I think this is just going to be...
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to get much more bizarre than that. This is just a simple thing. You know, yeah, you can run to the woods, but you're not going to get real far.
Well, you're radiating with barium, so you're not going
to
be hidden.
Easy to pick up on radar. And don't pay too much attention to the chemtrails, but do pay attention to them. When I say don't pay too much attention, when you get too into car wrecks. So that happened to Jim, the delivery guy here on Revere.
I've been talking about chemtrails a decade.
But chemtrails are, yeah, they're real, they exist. They're not for your goodness by any means.
But I did. We got a great show with... Man, my brain's just slipping these days. And that's one of the symptoms of the chemtrail.
Yeah.
You've been getting hit pretty hard lately.
It's brain slip.
Yes.
Well, I hear your area and Arizona gets hit extremely hard. I know Portland gets hit very hard as well. It's a big deal. When we get hit hard, I get really bad breathing problems. So
definitely.
And it's not a good thing. They're not good at all.
No.
And people say, oh, you're crazy with that. You're crazy. And okay, believe whatever you want to believe on that. I'm just saying they're real. They exist. Believe it or not. Bariumblues.com. Freeman was kind enough to turn me on to that here a few months ago. Great website, great information for chemtrails. And also, you turned me on to a video. What was the name of that? The new video that came out on chemtrails?
That was with, that's the one I was trying to think of. Rosalind Peterson. The show I did with Rosalind Peterson. I think she had the best data, and I kind of took it over the edge so that you could get a little bit of the edgy ideas. I'm not so sure how happy she was that I was going to take it to the fringe, but these things have to be said.
Yeah.
So we were a pretty good balanced view on chemtrails, and my friend got it all edited, and we've got a lot of the chemtrail video and everything. And
nice.
It's Freeman Archives, and just check out the show with there it goes again.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I have brain farts often as well, so it's
Rosalind Peterson.
Yeah, and when it comes to names, sometimes I get lost extremely easily.
I don't think they had names on my home planet.
Yeah, it's all perception. I kind of agree with the name thing. People always ask me, what's your name? What do you do for a living? Who cares? It's like, does it matter if I'm Felipe Gonzalez janitor? No. If I'm thinking for myself, that's a good thing. It doesn't matter what your name is or what you do. It's all a matter of how you perceive yourself and others and the world around you. I know this. I perceive it as I'm an alien. I've always thought that in a lot of ways.
I think it really helps to look at the world that way. then you can start to look at some of the stranger things and understand that humans aren't these evil creatures that they're being
made out to be,
programmed to believe we are.
Yeah.
It's the agenda that's evil and causing all the problems. Humans are loving and caring, and not a virus on this planet at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's kind of like, I don't know if you got to catch it, last week, South Park episode. It was called Lice-capades, and it was about head lice. But they actually went into the head lice community, you know, and talked about, you know, how they lived and what have you.
I saw the apocalypse. That's all I saw of that.
Yeah, it was quite good. I like the story behind it in a lot of ways. But then again, I see, again, the controlling, you know, the brainwashing factor in South Park. I do find it entertaining, by all means, but there's an agenda behind it as well. I definitely see them pulling agenda. And people are like, how do they do that? Well, it's left-right paradigm still. But yeah, it is humorous. I enjoy it for that manner.
Definitely.
So, I can see through it, and I find it funny as hell even seeing through it. And I don't see through all of it, obviously. I'm sure there's a lot of it that's beyond my capacity to even catch, even in a simple cartoon.
The hardest one to catch is the very fact that our reality matrix is being programmed. You know, we think that we've got a left and right, but the very concepts that we exist within are being manufactured, and that's where it starts to get a little...
Yeah.
So that we're programmed into the very...
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that. Well, hell, brother, it looks like we're getting there on time. So, again, your show is on Tuesday nights on Revere?
Tuesday at 6 p.m. Or 7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern, so that would make it 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And definitely look forward to your next broadcast as well on that. And, definitely glad to have you on board, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
Free speech radio is always great because it's whatever you want. At least on Revere, I do whatever I really want to do. It's like sometimes I play the audio off of some crazy thing I just listen to, and it might be an hour or 2 hours long. And sure, it's kind of lazy doing that, but I find it real interesting stuff, so I like to share it.
Yeah.
I've even done that with some of your information before. And it's like, hey, man, it's like, listen to this. This is great. Check this out. Completely agree with this. And I'll say whether I agree with it completely, disagree with it, and if I do disagree with anything, what I disagree with it about.
Yeah.
But I usually don't have anything on my show that I disagree with, so try to be half-ass informing and make people think a bit. But yeah, FreemanTV.com. And what's your show called on Revere?
Radio Freeman.
And you can also find the archives for his show here on Revere at freemantv.com, and you can find the archives now being posted up as far as last week goes and this week and from now on at fromthebunker.info. I don't think they're going to be I think there'll be a link for them still at revereradio.net. I'm sure Rob will still have a link for them. They're just not going to be hosted there, which is great because I'll have my own little place to learn a new technology one of these days and try to mess with the website. Rob actually wanted me to do a bio, and it's like, I don't know how to do a bio, and I don't know how to describe myself to anybody really other than listen to my show and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Working on mine as well.
I don't know a bio. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I got some mescaline I want to play with come springtime, so maybe I'll write it then. And maybe that'll be one of my projects to do while playing in that realm. Write your bio on mescaline. See how it turns out. I am an almond. I am a sweet almond. Yes, I can see it now, but oh well. But thanks as always for joining us, Freeman. Definitely... always a great talk, and it's always nice to get off of the planet and think out a little bit. And like I said, I didn't want to get all doom and gloom on everybody with Cassini, but...
These are the type of people we're dealing with, though. That's exactly what they would do.
Yeah, it sounds like something they would like to pull off. And I'd like to thank Jade and Dave for turning me on to that information as well. I thought, as far as the Cassini probe and with the plutonium and all that yumminess, and I'll hook you up with that video, Freeman, of that. And I need to turn you on to something else. I can't remember what it was right offhand. But, yeah, I'll definitely hook you up. And
I sent you the Anna Nicole Brittany and Mind Control video and the Rosalind Peterson episode.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I will hook up with those tonight, in fact, just because I'm ready for some good viewing and just some kickback time as well. And I hope to see you on Skypecast soon.
Yes, I will. I'll take on that technology soon.
That is that's an awesome one, brother. It's a lot of fun. Now, it screws up sometimes as far as I've seen it go. It's like this week, the last 2 days have been hell on wheels with it, getting any good cast going, because it takes 2 and 3 times to connect. And so the rooms have been really dead, let's put it. I've only had like 10, 15 people in my rooms, because they're ones that are often come in and they'll try a few times because they know I made a room. But other than that, it's quite difficult, or the last 2 days have been, but they'll fix the glitches, and it is free. There is other VOIP programs out there. I just don't know of any good ones that are free and do what this do, and that have as many people that are available on this. So I find it the best one for now, until another comes out. But it's fun, man. You'll get addicted, I hope. Well, once you get on, you'll get addicted, I promise. And it's a good addiction, because I believe communicating with others is a great thing, and something we should all do at least a few hours a week of. I find to do 15, 20 hours a week, no problem, but that's me. I find it one of my favorite things to do on the internet as far as that goes.
I don't think I'd have such a positive view of humans if I hadn't met so many of them.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, as many as you meet on Skype, it's amazing how... And what's great is because of the anonymity there. You know, you got all these anonymous people that are... They're there, and they're speaking their minds with no hesitation. And I enjoy that more than anything, even if it's opposing.
Yeah.
So, because hopefully they make me think if it's opposing, and I love a good argument. But if I'm wrong, I'll admit it, and
sure.
I'll.
And we want to find out where
I'll
we
concede
are. Sorry.
Always, but very rarely do I concede, because I don't. I'm usually on the money with it. When it comes to stuff I don't know about, though, I'll say straight up, I don't know about it, because...
People don't spend a whole lot of time knowing why they believe something.
Yeah. It goes back to the good church and the good book, which, by the way, people, tomorrow, be sure and pay your 10% and pray hard that Armageddon doesn't happen. Or no, you want it to happen, that's right, I forget. Shit. Oh, well, I get confused with those points. I guess that's why I don't make a good Christian. Oh, just off a whole topic thing on religion and thing, but do you know who the guest speaker is at BYU for graduation this year?
No.
Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's actually quite a few pissed off Mormons about it, too, because they say they're supposed to have someone of moral high standard to be speaking, and I was like, well... You definitely picked the wrong one for that category. But
yeah.
Privately or publicly, Dick Cheney is not a person of moral high ground. So, yeah, I definitely found that out there and crazy. But, oh well. Well, thanks again, Freeman. And I definitely look forward to more of your shows, brother. And your information's always awesome, and you're on top of what's going on. And I always enjoy that. And I'll definitely hook you up with all the Cassini yummies, because I think as far as the numbers go, I find them very interesting, and I know you understand a little bit more about Kabbalism, quite a bit more about it than I do, and would have better means than I to find out what these guys might be talking about with it and what their agenda might be with it. You got a little over a year to find out before Impact Day. So, yeah, it gives you a little bit of time, and that's always what you wanted, too, another project to play with. So.
Oh, definitely. You know, and I signed up to be a producer for another year. I was like, well, it's a good thing the world's going to end, so I have something to talk about.
Exactly.
And they were like, what? Honestly, if I didn't think the world was going to end, I'd be a pretty miserable character.
Yeah.
But I know this is all going to change.
Yeah, it'll end as we know it.
Yeah, exactly.
The world will end as we know it. I guarantee that, and that will be soon. Coming to a planet near you, and I don't think they're going to have PlayStation 2, people, so I'm sorry to break that news. But yeah, I definitely believe that we're in for a big paradigm shift. I think things are going for a big change very soon. I think you're completely correct on that. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. I think it's going to get hella a lot worse before it gets any better. But
funny, it tends to get better when it gets worse.
It gets more interesting, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, there was so much love and care when Katrina hit, and so many wondrous stories. I mean, there were bad stories as well, but, you know, people really get united when they have to face with the here and now.
Yeah, and I hear you.
Really what it is. We live in the future, and that's the wrong way to live and causes death, and we should be in the here and now.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I definitely hear you. And look forward to hearing you more on Revere, and hopefully have you again on soon. And so I'm sure there'll be all kinds of more yummies to talk about, because the hexagram on Saturn is another yummy thing.
Yeah, I'll have to go look at that.
It looks crazy. It's psychedelic, man. It really is. The picture got back.
Is it the electrical storm that's at the South Pole?
I'm not sure exactly what it is, man.
Alright.
It's pretty crazy.
I can't wait to check it out.
It's been, you know, they took pictures of it like 20 years ago, but I never remembered checking anything out on that. I never remembered seeing it. Obviously, I have not been paying enough attention to the stars and to the other planets surrounding us. But, oh well.
Yeah, now we get what we need.
Yeah, I know now, and I'm in that direction now. So I guess my topics for the next few weeks will be looking above for a while. I guarantee I'll still talk about things on the ground, but always be looking above at the same time. So
didn't mention the Chandra satellite, but you should look into that one as well.
Chandra?
Chandra, Chandra.
Okay.
That's the world's most sophisticated Earth observatory satellite.
Oh, really?
Just happened to turn on NASA TV one day when it was launching, and so I was like, well, what was that, I wonder? Because you don't often see a launch on NASA TV, and I went and looked it up. It turned out to be the most high-tech Earth observatory system in the world, and really amazing. And then Richard Hoagland put all these connections with the terminology Chandra and what she means in mythology, and very, very interesting. That's another one to throw in there. The Phobos.
Yeah, I know about Phobos,
the
Phobos
mystery, and the Chandra are two satellites you should definitely.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely hook up with that info and go play around with it. And, always fun to have new directions to go play in. Can't always keep your energy focused on one thing for too long or at least one direction for too long. I seem to get too frustrated. I don't know. But, oh well. Always enjoyable, brother. And,
definitely, Thomas. Good to talk with you. You have a good night, Thomas.
You do the same, my friend. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Peace. Well, another great talk with Freeman from FreemanTV.com and from now Freeman Radio here on ReveRadio.net every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And always a great one to have on. His information's always just wonderful, and what a beautiful individual. I'd like to thank Rob Revere and Jonathan from Phalon.com for their support of this show, and of course all you listeners who support this show and all the other shows here at revereradio.net. Without your support, we would be we wouldn't be able to exist. So the bandwidth is what we pay for. All the hosts do this out of the love of their heart, as so does Jonathan from Phalon and Rob. None of us get paid. None of us have a paycheck coming from this. We don't ask for a paycheck coming from this. We just want to speak our minds, but it does, unfortunately, cost money to speak our minds if we want to keep the archives, etc. So, let alone the streaming and all the bandwidth that Phalon supports us with. So, to support Phalon is supporting Revere. So, that's the best way you can support this station, is to support Phalon.com, because they are the sole supporter of Revere Radio. Without them, there is none. So, again, I'd like to thank Jonathan for all of his wonderful work that he's done for this network and for keeping us alive. Other than that, everybody, I wish you a great weekend. I hope everybody be safe and be good to each other and be good to yourselves. Spread the hug virus around and enjoy life. Peace.
We understand he survived the ultimate test.
Indeed.
Then he must no longer be referred to as number six or a number of any kind. He has gloriously vindicated the right of the individual to be individual. And this assembly rises to you,
sir.